As we've been inching closer to the Yom Tov of Pesach, Zman Chiruseinu, we finally reached the last step prior to Pesach, that is Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is always the Shabbos right before Pesach, and it's not uncommon for Shabbos HaGadol to always be Parshas Tzav. The lion's share of the time is that Shabbos HaGadol always falls out on Parshas Tzav. So let's this week take a look a little bit about Shabbos HaGadol, and number two, take a look at the connection, correlation, and why it is that Shabbos HaGadol typically falls out on Parshas Tzav. Let's begin with the Torah, the Beis Yosef, and the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pesach, Simen Tav Lamed, the second Simen in all of Hilchos Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Tosfos and Masech Shabbos, says as follows: Shabbos shelifnei haPesach korinoso Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos immediately prior to Pesach is referred to as Shabbos HaGadol mipnei hanes shenasebo, because of the great miracle that occurred on that very day. What is the miracle that occurred on that very day? The Torah says, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Aleph, Shebishana sheyatzmi Mitzrayim, the year that Klal Yisrael left Egypt, Haya asara b'nisan b'yom Shabbos, the 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos. And what happened on that day, the 10th, which was on Shabbos? Lokchu kol echon misol sele pischo, every single Jew, chabura, took etzeh, a sheep, for its korban Pesach, uksho bekiryamita, and tied the sheep to the bed post. Kmo shekasav, as the pasuk says in Parshas Bo, ve'eser lechodesh hazeh, vikchu lehem ish sele beis avos, sele bayis, every Jewish family took etzeh, took the sheep, tied it to the bedpost. V'hamitzrim ro zeh sholom, lama zeh lechem, and the mitzrim who worshipped the seh saw what Klal Yisrael was doing and asked them, why are you doing this? And what did Bnei Yisrael answer? Every family, Heshivu l'shachto l'shem Pesach b'mitzvah Hashem, and we're going to shecht, we're going to slaughter, we're going to offer the korban Pesach, the seh that you worship. Vahyushinam Kehos, and the Egyptians' teeth were stuck, they were stuttering, they were chattering. Al Shishokhtam is Elokehem, they were now gonna offer their God, their Seh, as a sacrifice. Vlahay Rishoin Lomalhem Davar, and the Egyptians were silent. And that was the miracle. Because that year, the 10th of the month was on Shabbos. Al kein kavu likros Shabbos lifnei haPesach leolam Shabbos haGadol. Therefore, for time and posterity, forever, we commemorate that year, the first year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the 10th of Nisan, which fell out on Shabbos. And therefore, forever and ever, the Shabbos immediately prior to Pesach is referred to as Shabbos haGadol because of the great, great miracle, the Gadol, of the fact that the Mitzrim were unable, they were silenced, they were stunned, they were shocked that Bnei Yisrael were shecht in their Elohim, and therefore we were successfully tied the seh to the bed for 4 days, ultimately until the Chatzos on the 14th. That's why this Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol. Now, Sekelman Shulchan Aruch question, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch is a code of Jewish law. Why is the Shulchan Aruch telling us a historical fact, the commemoration of the fact that the seh was tied to the Kiryah Hamita and Shabbos Shefnei HaPesach, Karnos or Shabbos HaGadol Pnei HaNeh? Is that something that's necessary to articulate, to codify in Shulchan Aruch? It's true that something that belongs maybe in Seder Olam Rabba, belongs in history books, it belongs maybe in Perushim, in Agados, and Drushas, but not in the Shulchan Aruch. What's the pshat? If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, here in Siman Tav Lamed, he hints to the fact that there is a halachic nafkamina to the reason why the Shulchan Aruch says that this Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, and that is because it's a requirement on this Shabbos to talk about the Neis Shenasebo. We should articulate, we should discuss, we should communicate, have drushas, shiurim at the table, at the Shabbos Sudos, talk about the great miracle which occurred, not just the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, not just the miracle of Makos Bechoros, not just the miracle of the Aseres HaMakos, not just the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the miracle of the fact that on the 10th of Nisan, beginning of the Geula and the beginning of the process of the redemption was taking place. That's when the Mitzvah were stunned. They were silenced. They had nothing to say. And therefore, every year, Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos prior to Pesach, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Shulchan Aruch Harav understands the Balatanya, Mishneir Zalman V'liadi Simen Tav Lamed, hints to the fact that that is what we should do this Shabbos, to talk about this great miracle. Not only does the Shulchan Aruch Rav make this point, but Rabbi Tzion Abishol in his Tshuvas Or L'Tzion Chele Gimel Perakei Tshuva Bey says that that's also what the Shulchan Aruch means, that what's called Shabbos HaGadol in order that we should be able to be Mazkir the Neis, to remember, to think about it. We have to be Mazkir the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have to be Mazkir the Nisim of Kriyas attempts of the first day of Pesach and on the seventh day of Pesach and the Shabbos prior to that to remember, to recall, to commemorate the nes of the fact that the Mitzvah were unable to do anything when we started to tell them that we were going to shech their Eloheim. The Machzik Brach and Oz Beis, the Simen Taflam, it says that as a result, there are many who have the custom on this Shabbos not to say good Shabbos, but rather Shabbos Shalom HaGodol. Have a good Shabbos HaGodol, Shabbos HaGodol, Shalom Mevorach, says the Machzik Bracha, Os Beis. That is the Pshat and the Mechaber, Simen Tef Lamed. However, the Rama adds another Minig Yisrael. The Haminag, this Shabbos, Shabbos HaGodol, Lomar B'mincha, HaHagada. There's a custom that many have to start to recite the Haggadah, Shabbos HaGodol, starting with Avodim Hayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim Ad Lechaper Al Kol Avon Oseinu, a very strong, ancient, long-standing custom to recite the Haggadah Ad Kan Omrim B'Shabbos HaGodol, you get up to the point of Lechaper Al Kol Avon Oseinu. There seemingly are two reasons for the minug to recite the Haggadah, the Maggid section of the Haggadah and Shabbos Haggadah. Number one, as we just said, it's the beginning of the miracle. The miracle began, the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Geula, is beginning to find its roots, its seed on Shabbos Haggadah, the 10th of Nisan. Therefore, we begin to recite the Haggadah, as it says, Mitchila, from the beginning, Yachol Merosh Chodesh, we have to start from the beginning. We can't just start on Leil Tesvav. But the miracles already started beginning before, therefore, we start to read the Maggid section of the Haggadah, the Shabbos before. But there's a second reason as well, and that is to be prepared, to be excited, enthusiastic. You can't just go into Pesach, Leil HaSeder, and take out your Haggadah. You need to be prepared, and therefore you begin preparing for the Haggadah, specifically the Maggid section, the climax, the highlight of the entire Seder, the Haggadah, the Maggid, the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore you start doing that already the Shabbos before. The Be'er Halacha famously quotes the Vilna Gaon. And the Gra can be found both in the Bir Agra as well as in the Ma'aseh Rav Talmidei Agra Seh B'Shem Agra Krasvu Shlohayu Noig B'Zeh. The Vilna Gaon was opposed to the minug of the Rama to recite the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadol. Why was he opposed to it? Mishum De'isa BeHaggadah Yachol Mibod Yom. It says explicitly, Haggadah, do you think you could start reciting the Haggadah on Mibod Yom, in the early parts of the day? Of course not. The mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim can only be filled after Tesach Kochavim Leil Tesvav. So therefore, as a result, the Vilna Gaon says you should not recite the Maggid section, the Maggid portion of the Haggadah, Shabbos Haggadah, prior to Pesach, but rather you should begin Dafka Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, Leil Tesvav, when the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim begins. Thus, you have a machlokes, the Rama and the Gra, as to whether or not the Haggadah should be recited Shabbos Haggadah or not. Again, whatever your minhag is appropriate. Certainly, there's a lot of value to taking a look at the Haggadah, to looking into the Haggadah, even though you may not be fulfilling that which the Rama says in terms of the minhag. Certainly, one should take a look at the Haggadah, be prepared, know the steps of the Haggadah from Kaddish until Nirtza, and try to prepare, to think, to contemplate. Ein Hachana, Ein Kedusha B'li Hachana. Certainly, the more prepared one is for the Seder, for the Haggadah, the more beneficial, the more enjoyable, and the more one will be able to transmit the messages to one's friends, family, etc. There are three significant differences on a level that are important to be wary of this particular year when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and thus Shabbos HaGadol is not days before, but it's rather Erev Shabbos and Shabbos HaGadol at the same time. The first of which is, and this is something that occurred already last Shabbos, that typically the Rav's Shabbos HaGadol drasha takes place on Shabbos HaGadol. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that in a year when Shabbos HaGadol is Erev Pesach, that doesn't happen because the whole purpose of the Shabbos HaGadol is to teach the people Hilchos Pesach. What's the point of teaching the people when it's already Kimat Yantif? So therefore, the Shabbos Haggadah is postponed, or pushed back rather, to the week before. Second item is that many of the piyutim that are classically recited on Shabbos Haggadah are not recited the day prior to Yantif, meaning Erev Pesach, this year Shabbos Haggadah, because the piyutim also talk about the halachas and the important elements of preparing for Pesach. Therefore, many of the piyutim that are standard and are classically recited Shabbos Haggadah this year will be recited the Shabbos before last week. Finally, there's a machlokas, a poskim, achronim, what the haftorah is for Shabbos HaGadol when it falls at an Erev Pesach. Standard minhag Ashkenaz, as is quoted in the Luach and the Ezra's Torah Luach, is we do say the haftorah v'arvu l'Hashem minchas Yehuda, and that is the haftorah at the end of the Navi Malachi, and that we recite whether or not Erev Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol or not. Many of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch and Siman Taflam in question why it is that we dafka remember, commemorate, recall, and reflect the miracle of the tying of the seh to the kiri hamita, to the bedpost, dafka on Shabbos. If that year the miracle occurred on the 10th, so we should always recall, commemorate the miracle on the 10th. The 10th of Nisan should be the day that we're mazkir the Neis Shenasebo. Why do we connect this miracle specifically to Shabbos? Shabbos is not the 10th. This year for sure not. This year it's Yudalit. And most years Shabbos Agol is not going to be Asiri. Why, just because the first year Shabbos was the 10th, do we always recall Shabbos? Typically, when it comes to a fast, when it comes to a miracle, when it comes to Yom Tov, we remember the specific date, not the day of the week that it occurred on. What's unique about this specific miracle that we recall the day of the week that it happened on, as opposed to the date? Why Shabbos HaGadol as opposed to Asiri HaGadol? The Levush says here in Shulchan Aruch, Mipnei Shahneis Baladei Shmira Shabbos. The miracle came as a result of the fact that the Klal Yisrael were observing Shabbos. Shemipnei Shiyadu HaMitzrim Shal Yisrael Shor Misa Shabbos B'Mitzrayim. Since the Egyptians knew that Klal Yisrael observed Shabbos in Mitzrayim, they knew that Klal Yisrael never worked with their animals on Shabbos, and therefore all of a sudden they saw them tying the seh to the bedpost. Shalom, lama zelchem? Why are you doing what you're doing? And therefore that caused Klal Yisrael to respond and explain what we are going to do, and therefore the miracle occurred alidei shmiras Shabbos. That's the pshat of the Levush. The Prisha and Siman Taf Lamed Ozbei says a little bit different, and he explains shayomitzum tmeim ala kesher shas Yisrael b'Shabbos. The Klal Yisrael were very meticulous, scrupulous, and we were very cautious not to violate any of the malachas of Shabbos. And of course, kesher and a kesher shal kayama, making a knot, was something that's included. And when the mitzvim saw that they were tying the seh to the bed, they were shocked and surprised. Shelo yadu ha-mitzvim sheish chilek bin kesher shal kayama le-kesher sheinu shal kayama. They didn't know the difference between the types of knots that were made. And therefore, when they saw this, they again began to ask. And therefore, the miracle came through, according to the Prisha, as well as the Levush, through the mitzvah of Shmira Shabbos. And this is what Siman Taf Lamed Shabbos HaGadol is all about, to recall, to remember, to commemorate, to exclaim the miracle, another one of the great miracles of Chodesh Nisan, the month of miracles, HaChodesh Asher Bo Yeshuos Makifos, this incredible month. But not only is this Shabbos significant in the respect that it's Shabbos HaGadol, but there are other elements specifically about Shabbos HaGadol that are connected to Parshas HaShavua, Parshas Tzav. The Eli Rabba in Siman Tav Chof Ches mentions that typically Parshas Tzav always comes prior to Pesach, but specifically Shabbos HaGadol. And he explains, Mipnei Shebitzav Midaber Behagolas Kelim. The mitzvah of Hechsher Kelim, kashering vessels, is explicitly in the Psukim here in Parshas Tzav. Linyan Noser Kachim, when it comes to kashering Kachim Dika vessels, Noser, the meat that lays in excess for a longer amount of time, makes the meat impure, makes the meat tame, and makes the dishes tame. Vehagalas Kelim, Mechametz, Lamud, Mikachim. We all are familiar. The Gemara is in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. The din, the halach of Hechsher Kelim, Hagalas Kelim for Chametz, is learned from Kachim. The Pasuk says in Parashas Tzav, Perek Vav, Pasuk, Chaf Aleph, Ukli Cheres, Asher Tivushal Bo Yishaver, a Kli Cheres, an earthenware vessel that you cooked any type of meat in, Yishaver should break. And from Kachem we learn too the halachas of kashering for Pesach in the entire year, that if a earthenware vessel has no vehicle, there's no license, the Torah tells us that there is no way to kasher an earthenware vessel. Therefore it has to be broken, there's nothing you can do with it. Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, there is one way, that's Chazara L'Kivshon. If you return the earthenware vessel to a kiln or to a self-cleaning oven, today the Poskim say that that's similar to a Chazara L'Kivshon, to a kiln, and therefore if a porcelain or china dish becomes treif, the only option you have to kasher it, as opposed to breaking it, would be return it to the kiln or to the self-cleaning oven. Don't do that without experience, without asking exactly how to do that, because it could melt, it could chip, it could, and there could be problems with your dishes, so be careful, cautious before you do that. Both of Moshe Feitz and Zohar Rabbi Avadya Yosef independently in Tshuvas and Irigus Moshe and Yabia Omer point out that there could be an exception to this rule for Bali Tshuva in circumstances where a Ger or Bal Tshuva even have a significant amount of dishes, klicheres, porcelain, china, which are expensive. There could be that there is a way to kasher it based upon a Tshuva, the Chacham Tzvi, the Bala Itter, and one should be familiar about that, at least to ask the question in circumstances. Potentially, there is kulas for Bali Tshuva and Gerim in circumstances where we do not want to break their dishes or not allow them to use their dishes. Therefore, that is something to be mindful of. The pasuk continues, Vimbi Klina Choshes Bushala Umorak Vishotaf B'mayim. Parshas Tzav, the continuation, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chafalaf, when it comes to a copper vessel or any metal vessel, the halach is when it comes to kachem, it needs mrika v'shtifa, which means purging it of its taste, and shtifa, to washing it out. And of course, this is the basis of the halach when it comes to hagolas kelim. And hagola, also the same thing has to happen. You have to purge the non-kosher taste, or purge the chametz from the kli, and then you rinse it out, and then you wash it. So therefore, the Torah only talks about two types of vessels that you can kasher: earthenware, which is impossible, you can't and you break it, and metal, which is a possibility. Chazal, Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, tells us in the Rishonim debate, what about glass? Glass is not something that the Torah discusses. And therefore, there's a three-way machlokas Rishonim, what exactly the status of glass is, because the Torah doesn't discuss if glass can be kashered or not. Poskim say, Rishonim debate, one possibility is you can't do anything with glass. It's like klicheres. Most glass is made, it begins with sand, and therefore it has the status of earthenware, and you can't kasher glass. A second opinion in the Rishonim is it's exactly like nechoshes, it's exactly like metal, and therefore you can kasher it. A third opinion is that you don't even have to kasher it. The fact that the Torah didn't talk about it means that there is no requirement to kasher glass. Those are the three opinions in the Rishonim. If you take a look at the end of Siman Tafnun Aleph, Hilcha Hagolas Kalim the Minug Harama, and the opinion and the position of most communities in Ashkenaz is to follow the Chumrah of the Ramah, that you cannot kasher glass, certainly not for Pesach. However, when it comes to Kol Hashana, the rest of the year, many poskim are makel that you can kasher glass, and many poskim are even more makel that you don't need to do anything. Ayin Sham, something to discuss in a different circumstance, but certainly something to be familiar with, that glass kashering is not something discussed in the Torah, only earthenware and only metal, and therefore that's the reason why it's subject to debate. It's interesting to know that in the Sefer Yesod Shorish Vavoda, even after all the halachas of Hagolas Kalim enumerated in Orach Chaim, Hilchos Pesach, Simonim Tafnun Aleph and Tafnun Bey says the Yesod Shorish Vavoda and Hilchas Hagolas Kalim, Biyoser Tzarech Lizarez Ulihizar Kol Hayari Bechari Ledvar Hashem, Shalolish Tamish Pesach Bekalim Shishtamish Bem Chametz Kol Hashana, Venich Shoy De Hagolah, better not to kasher at all for Pesach, says the Yesod Shorish Vavoda. The Hainu Kli Bedil Unechoshes, any metal vessel. Kil Bilti Efshel Lenakram Heite Bistakim Akitanim Shem. Shlo Yishor Ben Mashu Chametz Al Kolpanim. Vyoser Tov Lecho BePesach BeKeoros Chadoshim, says the Yisod Veshoresh VeAvoda, better not to kasher it all from Pesach, because it's so hard. You have to be very cautious, careful to make sure to remove all chaludo, all scratches and scrapes and crevices and rust and potential chametz that's stuck in different corners. And this is really the key to hechsher kelim. If you are kashering, is the cleaning process. The first step before you do any hechsher is to make sure that the dishes, the vessels that you're using, are cleaned very, very properly. That's the key to a good kashering process. And according to the Yesod Shorash Vavoda, there's Yoser Tov. The best thing to do is to have separate, unique, special kelim for Pesach in order that you don't have to kasher. Of course, if there is a way that you can clean them properly, of course, that's Simin Tafnun Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. You can kasher, you should kasher, you should be careful to kasher. Any shaila should be presented to your Rav to make sure that you're doing it properly. But particularly when it comes to intricate dishes, silverware, cutlery, etc., that have cracks, crevices, and different designs, one has to be very careful when it comes to connections between the pot and the handle. Very often, food could get stuck in there, and if it's not cleaned properly, even if you do a good Hagala, that's not considered to be a good Hechsher Kelim. And therefore, another reason why Parshas Tzav is always the Parsha read prior to Pesach, as the Eli Rabba points out on Shabbos HaGadol, is to remind us and to teach us and to point out the halachas of Hechsher Kelim. But there's even a second reason why Parshas Tzav is unique to Shabbos HaGadol. If you continue Perek Zayin, Parshas Tzav is the Korban Todah. The Korban Todah in Perek Zayin, Psukim Yud Aleph Yud Bey, Zos Toras Zevach HaShlamim, Imal Todah Yakriveno. Korban Todah is a type of Korban Shlamim, but there are two significant differences between a Korban Todah and a Korban Shlamim. A Korban Shlamim is offered and can be eaten for one day and one night. However, Korban Todah has a difference. It's an anomaly in the world of Karbanos and specifically Shlamim, where you can eat it for 2 days and the night in between. And that has the unique status of a Korban Todah. If you take a look in the Netziv, in his beer and his commentary on the Torah Megdavar, he explains that the reason for that is Laharbos Olav Kruim. A Korban Todah is a Korban of thanksgiving, of Shevach Ve'odah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if you're thanking a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want to invite more people that they should be involved and invested in your thanksgiving. And the more you tell them and the more you share with them what is taking place, there's going to be more of an opportunity to thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Todah is eaten for a day and a night, just one day and one night, because you want to invite more people to finish it, as opposed to the Korban Shlamim, which is eaten for 2 days and the night in between. So the Korban Todah would give you less time to eat because you should invite more people over to join and to talk about the Korban Todah, the thanksgiving, the reason why you're thanking a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thus it only is eaten for 1 day and one night. That is the explanation of the Netziv. However, the Netziv in his Agada, Imre Shefer, says something else relating to the Korban Todah, and he explains as follows, that the reason why Hallel, Leil HaSeder, is split, part of it is recited before Shulchan Aruch, and part of it is recited after Shulchan Aruch, is exactly for this point, that Leil HaSeder, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're bringing a Korban Todah. The Korban Pesach is a form of a Korban Todah, and therefore during the meal, that is like the eating of the Korban Todah, and before that we say Hallel. After that, we recite Hallel to sandwich the Korban Todah, the Shulchan Aruch, with Shevach Ve'odah, with praise and thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, prior to Shulchan Aruch, we read the first two Prakim of Hallel. Following Shulchan Aruch, we read the rest of Hallel to adjoin, to put together the Korban Todah, Leil HaSeder, with Shulchan Aruch and Hallel all in one. The Vilna Gaon and the Maharal take this one step further, and they explain there are four types of people. Rashi, the Gemara says, Maseches Brachos, as well as Paskin by the Tur, the Beis Yosef, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Yotes, that there are four people who bring the Korban Todah. Number one is the Yoredei Hayam, those who crossed, traveled across a big sea, successfully made it to the other side. Number two, Holchim in Barios, those who traveled through the wilderness, through the desert, and made it to the other side. Chavushei Beis HaAsurim, those who were in jail, incarcerated, and emerged free. And Cholesh Nisrape, somebody who was sick and was healed. Each of those four people bring a Korban Todah. And today, of course, those are the four people who recite the Birchas HaGomel. Says the Gra and the Maharal, that these four people were all of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who left Mitzrayim. They crossed the Yamsuf, Yoredei Hayam. Holchu Bamidbar, they made it through the Midbar. Number three, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was they, Klal Yisrael was incarcerated, was in jail in Mitzrayim for 210 years. We got out. Cholesh Nisrape, says the Gra, and explains the Maharal, at Matan Torah, Nisrapu Kol HaCholim, all those who were sick became healed. Val Arba Dvarim Elu Tzrichim Hodos, and these four things we have to be thankful for, and thus Leil HaSeder, when we are all Yotzei Mitzrayim, Chayev Adam Liroses Atzmo, Kihilu Hu Yotzei Mitzrayim, therefore Arba Tzrichim Hodos, V'kulam Hayu B'Yotzei Mitzrayim, and therefore another correlation between Parshas Tzav, the Korban Todah, the Shlamim, and Leil HaSeder. These are the four people who recited. Of course, this is the reason for the Dalad Lashonos of Geula. Rotzesi v'itzalti v'goalti v'lakachti. Kenegde the Yoredei Hayom. Holchei Mibarios. Chavushei Beis HaAsurim. Cholesh Nisrape. This is the reason why we have four cups of wine. Because Yardu B'Yamsuf. Holchu B'Midbar. Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Cholim who are Nisrape. Once we reach Matan Torah. So therefore, this week, Parshas Tzav, not only is it Shabbos Agadol, not only are there unique halachas and significance to the miracle of Parshas Shabbos HaGadol, which are enumerated in Shulchan Aruch, Tur, Simen Tav Lamed, but Parshas Tzav also has these two unique elements to it, which connect and which prepare us for Pesach. Number one, Hechsher Kelim. Number two, the Korban Todah. May we be zocha to fulfill the halachas of Pesach properly. May we be zocha to feel the kedusha of the Yom Tov of Pesach. May we be zocha to feel, to express Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. And most importantly, may this year be the year where we all ultimately ultimately see the ultimate redemption, the ultimate gula, the gula shlema, where Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim will pale in comparison to the ultimate gula with the coming of Shiach Tzidkenu, Bimher V'Yameinu, good health, happiness, Yeshuos V'Nechamos, and Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we should be continuing to see the Siyata D'Shmaya, the gula shlema, L'shana Ba, B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya.